Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
And off we go, ladies and gentlemen, on a Friday, on a Thursday. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Final day of the week for us. We'll be off tomorrow. Got a little something to take care of, so we'll be off tomorrow. Likely going to be the last day off until towards the end of November.
Dude, you said that like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, this one's not really my choice.
Okay.
This one's not really my choice. I certainly, if I was going to take off in football season, I would take off in the middle of the week, honestly. Like, I would break the week up. I'd take off on a Wednesday or a Thursday, not on a Friday. Not on a Friday where there are three massively consequential football games for the three largest teams that we cover here in the Upstate.
By the way, your boy overnight just picked Clemson to lose. A lot of people picking Clemson to lose this
weekend. Yeah, it's
shocking, surprising how quickly things turn in the world of football.
I mean, how quickly things turn in life sometimes, and the reality is, you got to react. You got to react. Sometimes what you thought is true is not true. And to accept that, embrace that, react to it, and change your thoughts, beliefs, and actions based on that is, frankly, how you succeed and thrive at being a human being. Now, I know that's very deep and dramatic for will Clemson beat Georgia Tech? But
I'm just amazed that you put that kind of a paragraph together at 6:02 in the morning.
Oh, I want to be abundantly clear. We're gonna have a real deep conversation today.
Uh-oh.
We're gonna get away from sports for a segment today. Because yesterday was a weird day. And I think we all know yesterday was a weird day. And I am not here to utilize the show, at least not that often, I don't think, as a bully pulpit of any type. I'm not here to preach from the microphone. I will bring up life philosophies on the show because I think that there are times when they fit into sports. I have oft used the expression that the Venn diagram of sports and politics, the Venn diagram of sports and real life, the two circles aren't separate. There may be, and if we do it right, hopefully will be, very few times that we have to play in that little overlapping segment of the Venn diagram. But often we do and we will. College football has, I think, proven that over the past couple of years, as we now have and probably have arrived at a spot where the only way that we're going to reach compromises in college football that everybody can be maybe not happy with, but at least can live with, is probably going to be through some sort of legislative maneuvering. It is one of the places where the two circles of sports and politics, or in this case, I think sports and real life, overlap. What happened yesterday at Utah Valley University with the assassination of political commentator Charlie Kirk? It was heavy. It was heavy. And I don't plan on spending all day on this, but I do feel personally some level of, I don't know if it's an obligation to, or if it's a desire to, or if it is some mix of the both. I don't think it is going to come to a shock to anyone that has listened to this program for more than a few minutes to find out that I didn't really agree with Charlie Kirk on anything. There was very, very little that I agreed with Charlie Kirk on. In fact, I vehemently disagreed with Charlie Kirk on most things. What happened yesterday is unacceptable. It's inexcusable. It is pure evil. I disagreed with Charlie Kirk vehemently on most things he said into microphones. That doesn't mean what happened yesterday is the road that we need to go down. To me, sports has always been a place where we've been able to kind of put that stuff away for a minute. When you get up in the morning, before you dive into the reality of, I've got bills to pay, I've got kids to worry about, I've got responsibilities that I have to take care of and not enough time to take care of all of them, before you have to start dealing with your real life, the point of this show has always been, let's get you started off with something light. Sports are important to us, but I have also said a million times and a million times more, there's a reason, there's a deeper reason that sports is important to us than just we love competition. It is because sports is, or at least is supposed to be, a place where we can allow the strongest emotions that we have to be channeled somewhere. We don't have to think rationally or logically when it comes to sports. We don't. In what other arena would going to a football game or to going to any venue, taking off your shirt, painting yourself purple with an orange C on your chest, in what other world would we look at that as normal behavior? But in football, you're the best of the best if you do that. Is there anything better than a great tailgate? Not really. Not in my opinion. There's not much better than a great tailgate. There's not much better than hanging around with a bunch of people and being in a place where tribalism, my people are better than your people, is not just encouraged, it's celebrated. But the whole point is to leave it there. The whole point is to give us this outlet where we can have those feelings, where our emotions, our strongest emotions, are allowed to come to the surface. And we have an outlet to express them. Because you can't do that in a lot of other places. If I showed up to a radio station remote with my shirt off and my chest painted blue with a big white A for Odyssey on the front of it, my boss would be like, dude, drink after the remote, not before it, man. Go home. So I was sitting on the couch yesterday. I went out. I had lunch with a friend of mine. I went home. I took a little nap. And when I woke up, the wife told me what happened with Charlie Kirk. And again, vehemently disagree with most things Charlie Kirk said. But there was one thing that I very much agreed with Charlie Kirk on. And while I do not always think that he participated in this in good faith, I did agree with Charlie Kirk on one thing. Discussion and debate are the strongest weapon that we have to fixing our problems. It's not violence. It's not tribalism. It's not hatred. It is discussion and debate. One of the reasons that I have for many, many years shaped everything that I do, around communications, is because I genuinely believe in my heart that the strongest weapon ever developed by human beings were not nuclear warheads or Browning automatic rifles. The strongest tool, the strongest weapon, whatever you want to call it, that we've ever developed is communication, words. And unfortunately, like most weapons, that can be used for good or for evil. But I do think that at the end of the day, if we make a good faith effort to communicate instead of what I have seen happening in just Everybody who disagrees with me is a this or a that. To my friends that are on the left, and yes, it is going to delve into the world of the political for a minute. I swear to you, we're going to focus on football today, but I personally, Rob Brown, not the radio guy, the dude who is a proud American citizen, a proud citizen of South Carolina, a proud citizen of the upstate, I feel compelled to say this. I didn't ask for permission. I'm not going to. To my friends on the left, of which I have many, not everyone who lines up with certain political philosophies is a Nazi. And when you say that they are, this is the type of thing that is incited. To my friends on the right, not everyone who is more progressive is some liberal loon who incites violence and hates America. They're just not. They just have a different view. They have a different belief, a different opinion on how it is that we can all reach the goal that we all have together. And when we devolve ourselves, as I believe is happening, when we devolve ourselves to where we allow tribalism to become our driving motivator. My side is right, your side is wrong, and if you disagree with me, you are a fill-in-the-blank here. You're a communist, you're a Marxist, you're a Nazi, you're a fascist. If we allow ourselves to get to the point, I'm not even talking about the politicians. Politicians are going to be politicians. They are forever and always going to run to the extreme of the conversation to score points. But if we, out here, in real-life America, in the cities, in the towns, in the suburbs, in the country, if we out here allow that to become the way that we speak, not to, but at each other, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. I didn't agree with Charlie Kirk on anything. But you know what I will do? Our buddy Kane in the chat, who I suspect respectfully, because we've had the conversations away from radio, does. And Kane and I have been planning on, and unfortunately it hasn't happened yet, meeting up and grabbing some chicken wings to talk at some point, because I think that is important. I have many friends of mine who I vehemently disagree with politically that are everywhere on the scale from big-time Trump supporters to the people that are as far on the opposite side of that spectrum as can possibly be. Do I think any of them are evil? No. Do I disagree? Yes. Do I think some of them may be misled and misguided? Absolutely. But it's not going to make me believe that they are evil people. Not at all. Do I think that there are people in positions of authority and power that are evil? Yes, I absolutely do. Do I think that there are people amongst us that are evil? Yes, I do. This is why I think that the politicians who immediately ran yesterday to, oh, see, the Democrats did this, just like when we had a couple of politicians in Minnesota a couple of months ago get assassinated, when the people that are my friends on the left are going, oh, this is what the Republicans did. No, no. A handful of crazy people did this. A handful of people who were, however they arrived there, they were misled, they were misguided, they were mentally challenged, what they had issues, whatever the case, the reality is, your neighbor who you disagree with politically didn't do this. And if you went to bed last night and you were saying it was deserved, or so-and-so or this group of people encouraged this, made this happen, and your brain started thinking about people in your life and putting them into that group, I am begging you, as a fellow citizen of a country that I want, and I assume you do too, to be as safe and secure and as prosperous as possible, recognize that the goal is the same. The goal is the same. I genuinely suspect that while I, again, probably didn't agree with much, if anything, that Charlie Kirk ever said, I do think we wanted to get to the same place. I just think we had very different roadmaps on how to arrive there. This is why I believe what happened yesterday is not acceptable, excusable. There should be no celebration or dancing at all from anyone. And it should be the exact opposite way. And I don't care if the person who is the target is someone that you consider evil or bad. Or this is not what we do. That is some stuff that we read about in history books about third world countries. We're not that. We're better than that. Or at least we're supposed to be. But I deleted social media off my phone last night. I will be obligated at some point to put it back on because it is part of my jobs and responsibilities. But I deleted it off my phone because what I was reading from fellow citizens on both the left and the right of this country, a country that is supposed to be the shining city on the hill, we were rolling around in the crap last night. And it's a shame. So I can't speak to the people that are in the highest positions of authority. I just can't. Those people are they're in a different world than we are. And I'm just a local yokel nobody. All right. My message isn't going to get there. But I can speak to the folks who tune in and listen to the show. I can speak to the armada, the 6 a.m.ers, the folks who tune in. And I will say this. I think most of you probably by this point in my career figured out where I stand. I hope that nobody has ever said I disagree with Rob politically, therefore I can't listen to him talk about sports. Because that's kind of exactly what I'm talking about. If you can't have a conversation about football, basketball, baseball, soccer, hockey, whatever, track and field, whatever, with somebody because you disagree with their political philosophy, that's the problem. That's the problem. That's the issue. When we, not the people in positions of power and authority, it is on us to decide who those people are. But if we who go through the day-to-day, if we who engage in business and recreation with each other in our community, get to a point where you see somebody and you know your political philosophy does not line up and you have arrived at the conclusion that that person hates America, that's the problem. And I firmly believe, respectfully, you have not arrived at that conclusion. You've been led to that conclusion. And I firmly believe that anybody in a place of communication at any level, from dude with a bullhorn on the side of the road to the highest political office in the land, anybody who says the people who disagree with me hate America, that's the bad person. Okay? These people disagree. That person disagrees. This group disagrees. And therefore, they hate America. That's a problem, guys. That's a problem. We're better than that. Our political differences date back to quite literally the founding of this country. That's never going to stop. We're a nation of 340 million people. Shock of shocks, we're going to have some differences in opinions and philosophy. You can put two people in a room and you're going to have some differences in philosophy and opinion. That's fine. That's good. We are meant to be the melting pot. That is a good thing. It is the ability and the opportunity and the right that we have as Americans to get together, to pull up a chair, and to have the conversation and to make our arguments and hopefully do so in good faith. And we out here in the day-to-day, to be able to come to a spot where we are able to say, I don't love the way you would want to do it. You don't love the way I want to do it. The compromise that moves us forward is somewhere in the middle. How do we arrive there? Here's the issue. When one side says the other is bad, evil, and hates America, no matter which direction that bullcrap is flowing, when one side or both sides sit across from each other and say, I'm not willing to have a conversation. I'm not willing to reach a compromise. I'm not willing to do all of that because those people hate America. You understand we will never be able to reach somewhere that we can stop anything. Somebody on X said, do you do these talks every time there's a school shooting? No. No, I don't. Not every time. Do I do it sometimes? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do I think something should be done there? Absolutely. Am I willing to sit down as someone who is also a gun owner and have that conversation? You are damn right. You're damn right I am. The problem is, when I have brought up, hey, I think something should be done, I am told I hate America. Part of this is my own experience. I will acknowledge that. Which hurts me emotionally, sentimentally. It hurts because it's untrue. If we, as the everyday Jimmy's, Joe's, Christie's, and Christine's of America's, can't sit across from each other and say, I disagree with almost everything you believe philosophically, but I also recognize that we have to arrive at a decision about what is and is not acceptable, what is and is not the path forward. And if I sit across from somebody and I go, no, actually, I just think you hate America, we're not getting a damn thing done. We're just not. I am aware that sports is our escape. And I promise you, when we come back, we're going into sports. And we're going to treat the show the same way we treat the show every day. Because this is the escape. I get it. But at the same time, with what happened yesterday, piled on to what has happened today, what today is the anniversary of, the remembrance of. And I've said for a very long time, one of the best days of my life was just a handful of days after the events of September 11, 2001. Because I sat in a football stadium in Niceville, Florida, and I watched as fans of two rival high schools with a wide range of political opinions sat mixed in the stands. Not a home side and a way side. Everybody sat together and waved the American flag and listened to the national anthem. And for that moment, none of that crap mattered. All of us said, how are we going to be better? How are we going to get through this together? And we have done nothing but walk away from that sentiment and emotion ever since then. And it's not going to stop until you and me and everybody that you pass on the streets today going through their life decide that we all collectively as a country and as a society need to stop labeling and calling each other names and accusing each other of hating each other without even sitting down to talk. And if anybody bases all of their life on that, I don't know how to make it better. I hope we can figure it out because I'm tired, guys. I'm tired. All right. When we come back, we get away from this, we talk football. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I ask a sincere question about college football? And I thought about this. I thought about this on Monday. And I think this is part of the problem. I had a gut reaction of, Rob Brown, you're being insane. You're being insane. But I've thought about it quite a bit more since Monday and actually think it's a good question. How is it that, as far as I'm aware of, the only team in America that has defeated two top 25 football teams so far in this college football season, how is it that South Florida is ranked 18th in the country? How is it? If anybody else inside of that is in the top 25 now would have knocked off in 2 weeks a pair of top 25 teams. And in fairness, I am aware that I know a lot of you now are claiming that you knew the whole time Florida's not as good as they looked.
If it's the middle of the season, it will be different. But because it's the first two games and a lot of the hype is off of preseason polls, I think if we're, like I said, middle of the season and this happens, they get more credit.
If we're middle of the season, more teams would be teams that have beaten two top 25 teams that are inside the top 10. There'd be more of them. There's only one. And so I guess the point is twofold.
Not everybody plays multiple top 10 teams.
That's also true. I think most of the teams inside of the big conferences are going to play at least a top 10 team, but multiple top 25 teams. South Florida's played two top 25 teams. They've defeated two top 25 teams. One of them at home, Boise State, number 25 in the country, came down to South Florida. The Bulls got the win. Then the Bulls went right across the state into Gainesville, Florida, and knocked off DJ Lagway and the Gators. If anybody else inside of the top 10, top 15 would have done this, the folks inside of the media room would have been losing their gosh darn minds about it. They'd have been going, wait a minute. Look at the conversation around Florida State right now. Florida State started the season unranked. They are now at number 10. One of the two wins that Florida State got was against a top five team in Alabama. The other one was against East Texas A&M University. I think it's not unfair to say, it is objectively true to say, South Florida's two wins are a better two wins than Florida State's. Now, Florida State pummeled Alabama, a top five team, and Florida State dropped a 70 burger on East Texas A&M. But the two wins in terms of what we are told are going to be the enhanced metrics that we're using at the end of the year. And granted, the AP poll is just voters. Right? They can vote however they want to vote for whatever reason they want to vote. But my question is, since we know that, whether we think it should or should not, the College Football Playoff Selection Committee regularly lines up closely with the AP poll, at least for the first few. This is one of those reasons that I have said, while I understand exactly why we do an AP Top 25 preseason poll, I don't like it. I don't like it. And this is the reason why. Because if I put down the accomplishments of every team from Ohio State down to number 25 Missouri right now, and we did a blind poll, all you got to see was the resume. Bet you a dollar South Florida would be a top one or two football team right now in the country. Bet you a dollar. If they were blind resume, you don't get to know what conference they come out of. You don't get to know where they play their ball. All you get to see is who they've played and what they've done on the football field from an opening kickoff to a closing whistle for either the two or three games that they have played so far. You get to see that Team X stayed at home and played Team Y. Team X was unranked. Team Y was number five in the country. Here's the final score. Here's the numbers. No names attached. And then Team X in week number two stayed at home, and they took on an unranked nobody team from the middle of nowhere, and they hung 70 on them. The blind resume for the University of South Florida would say on it that this team was at home for a top 25 win 34-7, like not unimpressive, and then second week went on the road to the 13th ranked team in the United States of America, went into their house, which, you know, if I could put this on the blind resume, I would say, where expectations were very high, where a guy inside the top seven or eight odds getters for the Heisman Trophy winner was starting, or for the Heisman Trophy was starting at quarterback, and into a house that is annually considered one of the most difficult places to play an away game in all of college football. And they won that game. I think if this was a blind resume, South Florida would end up being a top, let's say top 10, but I've got to think top 5 or top 3 team. And I've asked this question a few times this week. There are a number of times where I will, hello friends, I will try out discussions, topics on friends of mine, on buddies of mine, because they love talking ball, right? Like if you're with the boys and you're just hanging out in the group chat or you're out at the watering hole. I went out to lunch with a dear friend of mine yesterday. Buddy of mine called me. He's like, yo, I'm going to be over in your direction. Do you want to go grab lunch? Absolutely. And we just sat down and we talked about real life and we talked about ball. And as we were talking about ball, I brought this up. I'm like, hey, what do you think South Florida should be ranked? And he said, oh, where are they? I said, 18. He said, yeah, I think that's fair. And I said, can I ask you why? And the answer that I got as to why South Florida should be ranked 18, the best answer anybody's given me so far is, well, come on, Rob, they're South Florida. Come on, Rob, they're South Florida. They're not Clemson. They're not Georgia. They're South Florida. And I asked the question that I will ask you now. If your response to South Florida is 18 and they absolutely should not be ranked higher because they are South Florida, does not matter that they have two top 25 wins. Doesn't matter that they have two top 25 wins. They just are South Florida. Then don't you kind of lose the right to say what happens on the field matters? If your response to why South Florida should not be ranked higher than 18 is, come on, man, they're just South Florida. Don't you kind of immediately lose the right to make the argument, if you're an SEC fan, if you're a Big Ten fan specifically, don't you kind of lose the right to say, well, who you play matters? Because Boise State was a top 25 team. South Florida played them and they beat them. Florida was a top 13 team. South Florida went on the road and played them, and they won both of those games. I don't think, argue with me if you will, that's what the show is for. I don't think that there is another team in college football that to date through 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a week zero in 2 weeks, I don't think there's another team that has accomplished so far what South Florida has accomplished. And when I've asked why aren't they a top 10, a top 5 team, the only argument I have gotten in response is, well, because they're South Florida. All right, cool. Then I don't want to hear the phrase, who you play matters, ever again. Because it doesn't, if this is the case. Take a break. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
(844) 326-3663, the number to text or call this AM to be a part of the show. Texter said, Rob, why don't they just go with last year's final poll to set this year's top 25? That would be fair. That's from Tommy. Tommy, that argument has been made. I don't even disagree with the argument. But the answer is because in college football, like with everything in life, you're trying to sell people. You're trying to get people to buy. You're trying to get them to buy with their money, but you're also trying to get them to buy with their time and attention. College football is driven, obviously, by television contracts. Here's the reality. Everybody who is not Ohio State does not care about what happened last year. That's all gone. That's all in the past. What they care about is potential for this year. Can my team get it done this year? Nobody cares about last year. Everybody, well, not everybody, I am going to say, and I think a lot of people will, what the 2024 Clemson Tigers did is irrelevant. It's gone. The only thing that matters to me now is what can the 2025 Clemson Tigers do? And where do people who do this stuff for a living have them slated? So if you were to open the year when a lot of people had Clemson selected as a preseason national championship favorite, if the year opened with Clemson being ranked as they were at the conclusion of last year, number 14, it's not as sexy. It's just not. LSU v. Clemson in week one, if we utilized last year's final rankings, would have been number 14, Clemson host, unranked LSU. But what did we get instead? Instead, we got number whatever it was, 4 Clemson versus number 8 LSU. It's a lot sexier. You sell people on potential. This is not just college football, that's everything. You want to sell a cologne? How do you sell that cologne? Wear this cologne and you'll drive the ladies wild. You want to
high karate.
You want to sell jewelry? Wear this jewelry and the fellas will know you're a very, you know what I mean? Like, you sell on potential. And if you start with last year's final rankings, you are ranking based on results, not potential. Now, if your product is wildly successful, then you sell on results. Ohio State sells on results. Ohio State is going to pimp all year, reigning, defending, undisputed, because they've got the result to do it. Nobody else is going to. Everybody else is going to sell on, we can this year become the reigning, defending, undisputed. Now, if you missed the last segment, this is all spurred on by the conversation that I asked a friend of mine yesterday. And after hearing their answer, I was like, you know what? I think this is an interesting conversation. The University of South Florida is going to the University of Miami this weekend. The University of South Florida has played 2 top 25 teams. They have defeated 2 top 25 teams. They knocked off number 25 Boise State in week number 1. They knocked off number 13, the University of Florida, in week number 2. So here's my question with South Florida being ranked number 18. If South Florida is ranked number 18 right now, and I don't think they will, they're like a 21.5 point dog in this game. This is the biggest challenge because, unfortunately, I don't think that they can surprise Miami with Byron Brown the way that they surprised Florida. Florida had a week where they could look at USF Boise and be like, yeah, Boise State didn't have Ashton Janti, right? And it was on the road. It was at USF. They're coming to our curve. We're fine. We're good. Let's all go get ready for week 3 when we start the Southeastern Conference slate. And maybe they got caught to some degree looking ahead of South Florida. That's not going to happen to Miami. Miami now knows South Florida's no joke. They now know that South Florida has a guy in Byron Brown that had more folks known about this kid, could have probably gone into the transfer portal and earned himself a couple of paychecks with some zeros stacked on the back end of it. They're not getting caught by surprise. But let's say for the sake of conversation, the Cinderella season continues for South Florida out of the gate. Let's say South Florida goes down to Coral Gables, down to Hard Rock, 21 miles away from the campus of the University of Miami. And let's say the Mighty Bulls actually beat Carson Beck in the Hurricanes. Let's say Mario Cristobal, Georgia Tech's himself, the return of the Mario. Mario Cristobal goes out there, they trip all over themselves, Miami costs themselves the game. South Florida wins this game, upset on the road at Miami. Can you make an argument why they should not be listed as the number one team in the country at that point? Can you make me an argument? And you might say, well, Rob, they're South Florida. It's not good enough for me. It's just not good enough for me. You might say, well, even with 3 top 25 wins, They don't look on paper like the number one team in the country. Who does? Who does? Who's like clear and away the obvious number one team in the country right now? I don't know that there's an answer. And even if you want to lean into those two arguments, to me, that would kind of kick the legs out of from underneath who you play and who you beat and where you beat them matters. You would tell me that doesn't matter, that we are officially getting rid of that metric in how we value teams. What it would tell me is something that, to some degree, I think, at least I have always believed is true in the landscape of college football, which is you get brownie points just for being in a conference that you are in. If you're an SEC or a Big Ten team, you get a bunch of brownie points for being in the conference that you're in. If you're an ACC or a Big 12 team, you don't get as many brownie points as the SEC or Big 10 teams do, but you do get more brownie points than teams that are in the Pac 2, 4, 6, 8, who do we appreciate, or in the Mountain West, or in the, you know, whatever conferences. You get more brownie points. If South Florida was to knock off Miami, and I got to tell you, with all due respect to our Hurricane fans in the audience, I don't know that there's a team in America I'm pulling for more than the South Florida Bulls this weekend. Could you, for two reasons. Number one, I can't stand a Miami Hurricane. And number two, how much fun is this show going to be for me on Monday when we come back if South Florida knocks off three consecutive top 25 teams, two of them on the road? I will come in here on Monday if South Florida gets the win over Miami. I will come in here on Monday and say anybody who does not have this team as number one in America, you don't know ball, brother. Like, that would be ridiculous. Three top 25 teams in a row. Two of them on the road. Why? And here's the conversation. Why?
First of all, they'll be beating an ACC team.
So what? Top 25. So you've arrived at only SEC and Big Ten can win the Natty.
I think we all know that, you know, there's Big Ten. You've said this for a while too. That there's we're heading towards super conferences. If you're in the Big Ten, the SEC, it means more if you defeat those teams than it would if you defeat an ACC team.
Well, for the record, they have beaten SEC teams.
Yeah, but it was just Florida.
See, I guess this is the problem, is there's always a special exemption.
Of course there
there's
is.
There's always a special exemption.
I mean, come on. It's South Florida. What are you doing here? Why are you inflating South Florida? They're not going to beat Miami.
If they do. I just said that. I'm picking Miami. But if they do, if let's play like we're 88 miles an hour in the DeLorean to Monday, and South Florida went into Miami.
See, if I was going to do that, I would do it the Sunday. But anyway.
South Florida went into Miami, and Mario Cristobal Georgia Tech'd himself, and South Florida walks out of there with a 27-24 win over Miami. Three top 25 games, an ACC group of five win, two of those three on the SEC and ACC wins on the road. Give me the reason that South Florida should not be ranked number one in the country if they beat Miami.
They should be a top five if they do that.
Why should they not be number one?
Because they're not in the Big Ten or the SEC.
I want to say a bad word. I want to say a bad word on the radio. I'm just gonna push the button.
Oh, like you've never said a bad word on the radio.
I'm just gonna push the button.
There we go.
That.
Sorry.
All right. Just in general, that. That's not it for me. That's not it for me. I guess what the point I'm saying here is, I already think South Florida is...
See, I kind of agree with Jacob on the stream who says they haven't beaten number one. That's why I said I would put it in top five, probably top three, maybe even second until they beat the top, what's considered the top
team. Wait a minute. By that logic,
whether it was Ohio State, whether it's Clemson, whether it's I'm being hypothetical. Obviously, it's not going to be Clemson. But no matter who the number one team is, I still think it's really hard to supplant that team. If the number one team is there and they're winning by a lot, even though that team will have defeated three ranked teams, it's hard for them to supplant them.
So that by that logic, then
in this poll, that means nothing. If it if it happens later on in the year when the CFP is going, which does mean everything, that's totally different.
Yeah, but here's the problem. So I want to say two things. Number one, the problem is you can say all day, well, the playoff poll doesn't reflect. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. We all know that. We all know that the people on the College Football Playoff Selection Committee are looking at what the AP does all season long, and they're at least basing.
To be watching games.
I don't disagree entirely. And politicians are supposed to do what's best for the people in the districts they live in, but we know that ain't how it works sometimes.
Sometimes they do good things.
Now, let me get back to the argument that you made. It's hard to supplant number one. So what you're saying here is two things. Number one, gets an entirely different set of rules from everybody else.
Yeah, that's why you want to be number one.
Number
because
two.
Because you get entirely separate rules from everyone else.
No, that is not how it should be. It should not be that way. This is the same argument of, once you get to X amount of money, the tax code you live by is a different tax code
what
than everybody
should
else.
Should be and what is.
I agree.
I mean, you know.
I agree. But that doesn't mean I should just go, well, I guess I'll bend over and take it because that's the only way it is.
Well, there's got to be a reason why you strive to be number one. And part of it's special treatment.
Correct.
I want to be number one so I can be treated special.
Here's the problem. By that logic, there are only 12 teams that can take the number one spot. There's only 12 teams that can beat number one. So there's only 12 teams that can take that spot.
So you're saying you want the playoffs expanded?
What the hell does it have to do with playoffs? Between here and November 4th.
Because there's a 12-team playoff.
Between
you went
here.
With 12.
No.
Okay.
The only 12 teams that can take, by your logic of, in order to be the number one, you got to beat the number one. Woo. The only teams that can do that are the 12 teams you play in the regular season.
It is a philosophy that a lot of us live by the way.
The second thing that I have is, by that rule for number one, doesn't that mean that the only way that you can move up in the poll at all would be to beat a team that's higher ranked than you.
Right.
That's it. Okay, great.
Yeah.
South Florida just beat number 25 and number 13.
They got them
to 18.
They should be higher. I don't disagree with you there. I don't think they should be number one, even if they were to beat Miami. That's a separate argument. The thing that you're saying, they should be ranked above teams who have lost games. They definitely should be ranked higher.
I know we're against the break. Yes or no, they should be ranked higher than Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Iowa State.
Yeah. I mean, they should be top five for sure.
So ahead of Miami, who they play this weekend?
No.
Okay, that makes them number six.
No, we're talking about if they beat Miami. Obviously they will.
No. So let's say today.
Where should they
be today? You good with them at 18 right now? With two ranked wins?
No, I think they should be 6-7, something like
okay.
that.
Okay, yeah. So put them at 6, ahead of Georgia.
Yeah.
Ahead of Texas?
Sure, why not?
Ahead of Notre Dame?
Oh, definitely ahead of Texas. These are games of teams that have lost games.
Okay, fair enough. I'm looking for where and why.
Yeah, as far as that goes, we're on the same page. But when it comes to supplanting number one, I don't think you should be able to do that as long as number one is still winning convincingly.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got a handful of texts that have come in. 844-326-3663. We'll read and respond to those. We got your water cooler cheat sheet. Lulu Kessin at 8 o'clock. We're working on Rashad Beard at 8:40. All that coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Here is a number one ranked sports flash.
I can handle that pressure. Here's a team that's not number one. The Atlanta Braves dropped the third game against the Chicago Cubs 3-2 yesterday, losing the series 2-1. Chris Sale took the loss, giving up 7 hits and 3 runs across 5 innings while striking out 9. Atlanta had 7 hits in the game, going 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position. One day after Ohio State head coach Ryan Day criticized the NCAA's move to a single 10-day transfer portal, LSU head coach Brian Kelly said yesterday that SEC coaches are unified in support of the decision. Baltimore quarterback Lamar Jackson has apologized to the fan he was caught on camera shoving during Sunday night's game at Baltimore. Jackson was seen shoving the fan back into his seat after the fan put his hand on the helmet of Jackson and wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. Jackson said he has not heard from the NFL about potential discipline. I don't know if he will. He probably should, though, shouldn't he?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.